Das hier ist Rollen mit den Besten. Der Pen & Paper Podcast für Einsteiger, Neugierige und Veteranen. Feinster Nerdshit für deine Ohren. Mit Torge und Flo.
Hey und herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Folge oder in dem Fall der ersten Folge Rollen mit Free League. Rollen mit den Besten. Ihr merkt, heute ist wieder alles anders und alles seltsam. Aber eine Sache ist konstant und bleibt, und das ist, dass der ganz, ganz tolle Torge mir gegenüber sitzt.
Ach, Flo, hallo. Und
jetzt darf ich mal fragen, wie geht es dir?
Ach, mir geht's blendend. Und wie geht's dir?
Auch gut, aber wenn du sagst, wie geht's dir, habe ich so krasse Flashbacks an Princess Charming.
Oh ja, dann sollten wir da vielleicht nicht weitermachen, und bevor ich dich hier wieder verurteile für deinen Fernsehgeschmack. Nee, danke für die Ansage, und ja, ich nutze gleich mal diese Gelegenheit und das Wort, mich einmal in unser beider Namen vielleicht zu bedanken für das ganze krasse Feedback, was wir für unsere erste Actual-Play-Folge bekommen haben auf Dunklen Pfaden, Folge 21 von Rollen mit den Besten. Krass, also ich glaube, das sieht so aus, als wenn ich bald mich wieder in die Rollen mit den besten Studios ein bisschen verziehen muss, um so ein paar Effekte zu basteln und den nächsten Teil vorzubereiten, weil das, ja, wir haben das gehört und wir sind dran. Da wird es sehr bald weitergehen.
Rollen mit den besten Studios ist auch ein richtig geiler Name für mein PC neben dem Wäscheständer letzte Woche Montag.
Ja, du, man muss ja mit dem arbeiten, was man hat, ne?
Das hat ja geklappt. Ja, nee, ich freue mich dann auch total über das Feedback. Lasst uns das voll gerne wissen, wenn ihr irgendwie Bock habt auf mehr sowas. Oder halt nicht.
Habt.
Richtig.
Genau. Ja, wir starten auch nochmal eine Umfrage im Discord, falls sie nicht schon gestartet ist, wo wir nochmal euch fragen, was denn so der Content ist, den ihr euch von uns wünscht. Weil wir jetzt ja nun wirklich schon überall mal so einen kleinen C ins Wasser gehalten haben. Das heißt, wir haben schon neue Rollenspielsysteme vorgestellt. Wir haben schon lang bekannte Rollenspielsysteme, über die gesprochen zumindest, und unsere Erfahrungen geteilt. Wir haben schon diverse Gäste in unserer Sendung gehabt. Wir haben jetzt unser erstes Actual Play hochgeladen. Und genau, und da wollen wir einmal so vorhorchen, was sind denn eigentlich so die Sachen, die euch am meisten Spaß machen.
Das hast du ganz, ganz toll gesagt. Und du sprichst von Gästen. Heute ist auch einer dabei, der sitzt aber nicht hier, weil das Interview, das ihr gleich hören dürft, ist in der Vergangenheit passiert. Und ich wurde gerade angemahnt von Torge, weil ich auf den Tisch geklopft hat, und das nimmt das Mikrofon auf und das mag er gar nicht.
Das Podcast einmal eins, nicht auf den Tisch schauen bei der Aufnahme.
Verdammt, ey, ich kann halt gar nichts.
Du kannst Spiel leiten.
Folge 200, dann kann ich das vielleicht. Ja, ja, okay, fair enough. Genau, wir haben ein ganz, ganz tolles Interview gehabt mit Nils Hinze. Ja,
korrekt.
Autor bei Free League.
Genau, Autor bei Free League. Er ist Schwede, und dementsprechend ja, haben wir ihn nicht auf Schwedisch interviewt, weil Flo und ich können kein Schwedisch, hey. Auch wenn wir zwei Wochen da waren. Nein, also wir haben auf Englisch gesprochen. Also war das jetzt ja, auf neutralem Boden einigermaßen. Und genau, Nils Hinze, Autor bei Free League, unter anderem verantwortlich für Rollenspiele wie
Tales from the Loop, Things from the Flood und Vasen. Und das sind halt drei halt so richtige Bombentitel, ne? Das ist halt richtig geiler Shit. Zu Nils Hinze auch direkt: Der Typ ist nicht nur super cool und super lieb, der ist auch noch hauptberuflich Psychologe.
Ja, umso spannender waren natürlich dann die Fragen, die wir ihm gestellt haben. Genau, und ja, das haben wir alles auf Englisch getan, und wir hoffen, dass das für die meisten von euch da draußen kein Problem sein sollte. Wir werden uns aber trotzdem nochmal bemühen, das so ein bisschen zusammenzufassen. Und ja, und am Ende der Folge nach dem Interview, da könnt ihr entweder hinskippen, um euch unsere Zusammenfassung, die Flo und ich dann natürlich nochmal auf Deutsch gemacht haben, anzuhören. Genau, oder ihr gebt euch einfach das Interview in voller Länge, und am besten vielleicht sogar auf YouTube, weil da könnt ihr uns alle drei nämlich sogar noch sehen. Plus eben die Spiele, über die wir da sprechen werden, werden dann auch ab und zu mal so kurz eingeblendet, dass ihr so ein bisschen Ahnung habt, worum es geht und wie es aussieht.
Ja, genau. Also, wenn ihr Bock auf Zusammenfassung gehabt. Entweder durchhalten oder nach hinten skippen, aber wir finden durchhalten besser.
Genau, und ja, wir freuen uns dann natürlich wieder auch hier über euer Feedback, aber an dieser Stelle erstmal viel Spaß mit dem Interview von Rollen mit den Besten und Nils Zinse von Free League. Would you introduce yourself and tell us what you're doing and what pen and paper means to you and how you entered into the world of the pen and paper universe?
Yeah, gladly did it. I started playing when I was I think I was 5 or 6 with my older brother and our mother as a game master. We started to play like a Swedish fantasy game that was huge in Sweden, but nowhere else. And then I played for all my life pretty much. I played. I'm 40 now, 42. So I played for. Yeah, since the 80s. So I played a lot with my brother and his older friends, and I got some games I could GM. So I still play a lot of role-playing games. I have like 3 groups now in Corona time with Zoom and stuff. So it's gotten easier to play. Should I say something about... what I work with, or
sure,
yeah,
sure.
That would be the follow up. Yeah, like since Torg said, our audience is mostly people who have never touched pen and paper RPGs. Like they want to, but the first step can be daring, and since most of the content you find online, especially in Germany, it's about people who've been doing this for years, and they talk about stuff that you talk about when you have played. I don't know, D&D for 10 years. So as a newcomer, it's a whole different language, obviously. Yeah. So since we have a lot of noobs, they might not know you or from Free Aligan or the work in general. So it would be great if you could introduce yourself in that manner.
Yeah, absolutely. I should say my name is Nils Hinse. I don't know if I said that. And I write for a company called the Free League, which is the biggest Swedish role-playing game company nowadays. But when they started not that long ago, it was a really small company with some people who just loved RPGs and just wanted to do that on their free time. And then they have done a lot of good stuff. And I started to write role-playing games for them like 5 or 6 years ago, started to write for a game by a man named Christian Merstam, a game called the Oktoberland. It just exists in Swedish, so you really can't get it. But it's like a steampunk game with fairies in Russia, so it's really obscure. And then I kind of loved writing. I've written like plays for theater and stuff before, and I never thought about that I could write for role-playing games, which is my like what I've done all my life playing role-playing games. So, but when I started doing it, I thought it was really fun to do. So I just asked Thomas, one of the guys behind Free League, if I could continue writing. And then I got more jobs. And from that on, I've written a lot for them and for some other companies as well.
It sounds like you're doing a good job then.
Yeah, I hope so.
I mean, I've seen the Annie Awards. I've seen all the nominations. I think I just got an email like half an hour ago from the Free League newsletter where I saw that Vazen, which you, I believe, were the writer, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I think I butchered the pronunciation, right? It's not Vazen?
No, Vazen, I think. I don't really think we know either how it should be pronounced in English. So I'm just saying Vazen. I think that's right.
Okay. But yeah, I saw you got... multiple nominations there. Alien RPG from Free League got once again nominations. Tales from the Loop got a ton of awards and prizes a couple of years ago. So I think your work speaks for itself then.
Yeah, it's really, really overwhelming to get good prizes and nominations and such. That's really fun.
So when you say that you once again for our audience, when you say that you you write, for example, Tales from the Loop, what does that mean? Like, what do you write?
Yeah, that's a good question. I get that from my friends and from my wife and from everyone. What are you doing down in the basement? I can start from another part of it. I mean, when I first started writing role-playing games, it was just, as I said, it was me and my older brother and my mother, and we got this game, and we really didn't, me and my brother didn't understand anything. So my mother had to read it, and it was just the big questions of how do you do this stuff? And I mean, there weren't any movies you could watch like today. So she just tried to study it, and we sat down at the kitchen table and just tried to figure it out. And then somehow one of us kind of said like you do in a movie, like a line. I think it was I who said, "Gustav, shoot him with your arrow." And we just watched each other. Yeah, that's how you do it. And it kind of clicked how you play role-playing games. And we started to like play our characters. I was a dwarf and he was an elf, and we were going into the dungeon and stuff. And so I think for many people who start, it's the beginning, both to understand what you do, but also to kind of dare to do it. And what I try to do when I write role-playing games is kind of writing, you could say a script, but it's not a script as in a theater where I write every word you should say. It's kind of a frame for how this game works, both in the fiction, what exists, what doesn't exist. I mean, if you would play Throne, what is it called? Throne, Ice and Fire, Game of Thrones. Yeah. I would write, there are dragons, there are some magicians, there are walkers and zombies and stuff. But I will also write how the world works with rules. If I hit someone with a club or a hammer, what happens? So the things I write is kind of a help to play this imaginary world, but also frames or like boundaries. You can't do anything. Anything doesn't go, but the baseline is it's kind of a help to play in a certain way. Does that get anyway?
I think it does. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a lot of the text is both kind of it should inspire. You should read it and go like, yeah, I can see pictures of this in my head, and it's kind of a guideline. Start with this. The first thing you do when you sit down is you ask everyone what the character's name are, and then you do that. And then, yeah. So that is.
I can imagine
a long description. Sorry. Yeah.
I can imagine it's a big difficulty when you like compare writing a story like in a book like Game of Thrones, and everything is set and what the author says is just like how it is, or you write for pen and paper game where you want the people who read it or play it to be creative and sometimes go their own ways and stuff. I think that's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
I think it's also very hard to pull off. It sounds very, very daunting at parts. To me, at least, it would in our constellation, Torgi usually plays, and I'm the guy who is doing all the GMing. As you know, people do homebrew stuff. They take systems and they write their own stuff. But I couldn't imagine doing that on a scale or a level that is like a whole fledged pen and paper rule system with a story to tell, with its own rules, with lore, and just the whole shebang.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's for me, it's kind of easier to do the whole shebang, because then I can like get an image of how I want this world or this types of story to function, and I get everything to kind of work in that direction instead of just doing a little part of it. I think that's almost harder to do, because then you got to cooperate with other people.
Yeah. People can make things hard sometimes. That's true. Okay, I think that's great. People listening to this will have at least a very basic idea of what the hell is going on here. I have noticed, like when I read through your profile on Free League, that you are a psychologist.
Yeah, yeah.
First of all, that's amazing. And second of all, like, how does this affect, you know, writing RPG? Like, does that help you? I believe it does, because I'm sure you have a deeper understanding of emotions and all these things. But would you say that it affects the way you write things?
Definitely. Yeah, I would absolutely say that. I have an interest in human interactions and emotions, and I think part of my work is it affects what I think is interesting in almost everything. If I watch a TV series or if I play role-playing games, I kind of always, I have a tendency to look at like group processes and relational problems and stuff. and I'm not that interested in writing games about, you know, hack and slash or going into dungeons. I think that can be fun, and I think there are many great games about that, but I'm not interested in doing that. I'm more interested in like not that black and white worlds. And I mean, in Tales from the Loop, you play a kid. I kind of like playing games where you are not a superhero against an evil enemy. So I think that I think that those things that I'm a psychologist kind of affects what I like to see in game, you could say.
It sounds reasonable.
Yeah, just because you just said it before, you said that you're playing three games at the moment. Mind telling us what games you play? Are these just Free League games, or are you like
none of them are Free League games?
Oh, right.
should we cut this out?
No, I've played the game Apocalypse Worlds. I've played a lot. I have a friend who almost only wants to play games that are either Apocalypse World or built upon Apocalypse World. So we play a space story where I'm the GM. It's really fun. Then we play Burning Wheel, a fantasy game, where I am some kind of mad doctor who has grown a cult of believers and learn magic. It's also very fun. And then we play like a regular Call of Cthulhu campaign that a friend has written. Yeah, it's really good. He has written it for I don't know how many years, and has thousands of pages of material. Wow. So we played it for 2.5 years. But I think it's going to an end now. I think so. Yeah, it's really cool.
Okay, I don't think I ever get to ask this question again, because I don't think I'll ever meet somebody who is knowledgeable when it comes to pen and paper role playing games, and B, a psychologist. Sanity rules in Call of Cthulhu, how do you feel about them? As a
well, one more time, sorry.
The way that sanity and madness works in Call of Cthulhu, like if you have, I don't know, a patient, do you rank them from a level from 0 to 100 sanity?
Try showing them the yellow sign. Nope, didn't work. Gotta have some stronger. I don't know. No, I don't think that is so like how reality works. That is strange. I've never thought about that question. But no, I don't think. No.
I don't think. I'm glad it's a no. Similar. I'm happy it's a no.
I think all people have like issues, and sometimes those issues grow strong, and then you have a period of crisis, and then you go back to some normal functioning, and I think this Call of Cthulhu where you just get madder and madder and then breaks down for most people. I don't think it works like that, but I love playing the system. I think it's the greatest part of the system. Absolutely.
Yeah, me too. We played a bunch of Call of Cthulhu together, and as a GM, I love driving the players mad slowly.
Yeah.
and then just, you know, watching what the hell is going on the table.
Yeah.
It's amazing fun.
Yeah. And as a player, you love it as well. I said before that I like playing, I like the things to think that your kids in Tales from the Loop. I think Call of Cthulhu has kind of the same thing. I mean, you don't play a superhero. It's kind of understood that you play a character who is somehow weak or vulnerable or not in a knowing position. So most often you like being driven mad as a player. Not as a player, but have your character being driven mad, of course. But I think I like games where you are not competent as your foremost trait. I like those games the best, and I think Call of Cthulhu does that really well.
Yes, I agree. Just on a quick thing, because I see myself in the camera and I see my bookshelf over there. And if you've played Call of Cthulhu, have you, this is very random, but have you ever looked at Delta Green maybe?
I have, but then again, Delta Green is a little too, I would gladly play Delta Green, but I think I'd rather play Call of Cthulhu where you are kind of vulnerable than Delta Green, where you have like your machine gun and your training and your so for me, Call of Cthulhu is a first choice, I would say. Still, mm-hmm.
No, that's very understandable.
Yeah.
I guess going back to Tales from the Loop, as you just said, you play kids, which when I presented this to our group, I wasn't sure how they're going to pick up on this.
Yeah.
Since we played Alien RPG, we played Dungeons and Dragons and other things, and whenever they made characters, they were all adults for reasons. And suddenly they had to make kids, and they had to check like how young are we going to be, like, because it affects our attributes and all these things. And turns out it was so nostalgic. It was amazing.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. And just, you know, little things like this hideout there that you can create. And I'm just sitting there with like three grown-up, you know, people who suddenly start to think like, you know, 10-year-old kids, like, what would have been cool back then? And playing that was, first of all, I mean, the rule set, it lets you play the game without focusing too much on the rules, so you can keep on role-playing, which I'm a big fan of anytime. And this whole, you know, as a game master, throwing kid problems at adult players is oddly entertaining.
yeah.
Oh, it's amazing. So, how did this start with Tales from the Loop? How did you on accident make a game like that?
Yeah, you could really say that. I should say if someone doesn't know that Tales from the Loop is an art book by Simon Stålenhag from the beginning. So he has created the world kind of with his images and his texts and so on. And Free League is the publisher for his books. He has written several. But it started with me contacting Free League and asking, do you have any games I can write for? I like doing this kind of. And then I got a mail. We can look at this Tales from the Loop. We have some idea that you should play kids solving mysteries, perhaps. And then I sat down with one of my friends who I've played the most with. And we just wrote down a lot of ideas of how to do this. And I just sent it back and got a response that this is great. Write this. And then I kind of started writing furiously over a summer. I wrote so much, and in like 2 months or 3 months, I've written almost the whole game. And many of the things in that game was from the gaming group we had back then. Unfortunately, it has split up now. But the way of playing is very much, I mean, I just stole everything we did and put it in the game, kind of. It was a group that didn't like rules. We almost skipped almost all rules. So I wrote, like, what would we use? And I just put in as little rules as possible. And, like, the focus on kind of, like, everyday problems was something we had a lot in our games, where you almost always had, like, there was a problem, some alien or some blah blah, but you also struggled with your wife who want to separate and take the kids, and how should you handle this, and now they are calling from the CIA and wants you to go to the meeting, but you got to solve this thing with a lawyer first. And so it was a style, a way of playing that I kind of put into words in the rule system, you could say.
That sounds great. Yeah, now that I think about it and remembering, like, the last time we played, it sounds very fitting.
Yeah, from a player's perspective, I just can add, like, it's so refreshing to play a game where you're playing a character that, for once again, is a kid, and, like, yeah, we all have sometimes a kid in ourselves, and it's coming to life again, and that's really fun. And and from the mechanic perspective, that you can't die, really. Like, in every other pen and paper adventure, it's like, yeah, the worst thing that happens is that you die, that you get killed by a monster, or that you fall from a cliff or whatever. Yeah, and it's so refreshing to play a game where, like, the most bad things happen is, like, yeah, you're, like, getting some kind
getting
of
grounded.
Getting grounded by your teacher or by your parents or stuff like that. Yeah.
It's interesting that it can get really, what did you say, action-packed or like thrilling without the threat of being killed. I think that's interesting. And I'd like to say something that you talked about, Flo, as well. I mean, it does something to play as a kid. I mean, as I said before, I like my games to be emotional, to be, like, not personal in a way. I don't want therapy game. I mean, I don't want you to solve your life problems while playing. It's not like that. But I want it to feel. I want to feel when I play. I don't want to think. I don't want to add numbers. And if I do that attack, I can do this attack. And then the monster, that is not interesting to me. I want to feel things. And I think what happens when you play a kid is both the nostalgia part, that it kicks into your own memories and your own emotions. So you kind of are pulled into something that is not just a tabletop moving around pieces on a board. And the vulnerability also does that you don't have that much to put up against a big robot. Then you kind of get, you get what I mean. Sorry.
No, that's great. One of the things that I enjoyed the most when running as Tales from the Loop as a Game Master was these, you know, little kid problems that wouldn't matter in another RPG, right? So we would take one of the pre-made adventures. I think it was the one with the killer birds and the creepy pigeons. And we took hours even before anything happened, because the first problem that the party faced was two of them were playing siblings, a brother and a sister. And the brother character was very much into collecting music. But his the pocket money he got from his parents was very bad. So he started saving everything. And when we started the game and his dad gave him a couple of coins for the bus, he decided, I'm going to keep that. I'm going to take my bike to school, right? But his 10-year-old sister thought it was a horrible idea, because first of all, that's stealing. Second of all, I'm very lazy. And we had this first conflict, which took longer than expected. And it became a small adventure, just them getting to school and her being very unhappy about not taking the bus, then being late at school, getting in trouble with the teachers, which obviously none of this is really in this Tales from the Loop sense with the loop doing weird things. That's just, you know, everyday normal stuff.
Yeah.
But that just, you know, it taps something open that really lets you dig in into role-playing as a kid, because these are situations we all know.
Yeah.
And most of all, I think we all hated these situations.
Definitely.
So yeah. It was very great and very refreshing in a world where most RPGs are just about you becoming the ultimate badass and saving the world every other Tuesday.
Yeah. Yeah, I can do that too, but I think it's nice to do this as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's not just Tales from the Loop. You've also done things from the Flood, right? Where you figured, yeah, I do like killing players.
Yeah. It was I don't know how she said it. I love Tales from the Loop, but I actually like playing Things from the Flood more. I am much more nostalgic over my own teen years and much more over the 90s. And I think I had a hard time with Tales from the Loop deciding how horrible it should be. How, you know, the movie It or the book It, does that fit in Tales from the Loop? I think it's too scary to fit. So it was always a hard time kind of managing how scary it should be, but Things from the Flood is like, that is horror movie and teenage angst in one, and that is my sweet spot. I like those two coming together, so I think Things from the Flood is less dreamy, less in the kids' world. I love this junction between like kid and adult, that is the teenage, and we have had a lot of fun with that, playing teenagers with everything in it, and I actually don't remember how that decision to kill characters came. Somehow it felt like I think the discussion was kind of like, you were a kid in this kind of dreamlike state, but now it's actually for real. The horrible thing about like becoming a teenager is realizing that the world is really big and I can't handle it. And there are all these new things. I can't even handle my own body. My voice is making strange noises. And I mean, I got hair all over and I can't control anything. So in that world, it kind of makes sense that you actually can die, because one of the scary things is the uncontrollability of it all.
And so your decisions do have consequences. Like, yeah.
More than getting grounded.
Yeah. More than getting grounded.
Exactly. Yeah.
You said, do you still touch Things from the Flood or Tales from the Loop as a player or game master, or is it just like you've worked for it and you're now like done with it?
I wouldn't say that I'm done with it, but for a long time, I mean, half a year or something, I've been in a situation where I have had really much role-playing games to write, so I haven't wanted to GM anything because I don't have the time to do that. So the space game I'm GMing, I just started that, and I think I have only GM'd it. I don't know if anyone in my groups want to GM. That hasn't been a discussion actually. So I think, but I would love to do another Things from the Flood campaign, and I like to play like scenarios, but it hasn't happened for a really long time. But not because I've grown tired of them. I think I still like playing them.
But you have GM'd Tales from the Loop or Things from the Flood.
Yeah.
And how does that feel to GM like your own game, which is not like just, you know, this is a PDF I wrote with like 10 pages with some random scribbled notes, but it's a full fledged book that also looks brilliant.
I think it's It's kind of problematic, actually. I get tired of the things I write even before they're finished, because I think about them so much, and I actually think it's easier to GM other games, because with these games I have put my everything in them. I don't have anything more to give. I've used all my creativity. I've used all the ideas I have. If I take someone else's game, I mean, they have a lot of ideas and I have my ideas and I could just make something of it. But with these games, I don't really have that. I have that. I don't have that much to put in it, but it gets easier with time. So now it's easier to put up things, take up things from the flood and come up with something new and get inspired by it. Yeah. But just playing like the Four Seasons of Madness in Tales from the Loop, I wouldn't do that now.
Okay.
The campaign. No, I wouldn't do that.
Okay. I think that's understandable. I just realized, like, when we talked about, in Tales from the Loop, how you don't die, right? The kids don't die. And then you made the decision, things from the flood, hey, let's kill players, right? And then there's Raisin.
Yeah.
So is this like a decline of morality?
Yeah, I hope so. But I should say Raisin is, I wrote Raisin, but with Things from the Flood and Tales from the Loop, there were just like a hint of, there was an idea of what this would become. When I started to write Raisin, there was a lot of things already decided by Johan Egerkrantz, the illustrator, and the Free League, because Raisin is also based on Johan Egerkrantz's art book with the same name. So, that was more of a cooperation than the other two games.
Okay. But just real quick for our audience, can you give us like the main drifts of, Tales from the Loop, Things from the Flood, and Raisin? So
the big drifts.
Yeah, just I don't know how to say.
No, it's just a language thing. Pitch. Oh, sorry. Yeah. I didn't understand the word. Sorry. I will try. Tales from the Loop is a game about kids solving mysteries. If you watched E.T., you could say it's E.T. in a role playing game, and the kids have like problem with bullies and older brothers who are mean to them and stuff, but they travel into this kind of mysterious world and then go back to the regular world. Things from the Flood is in the same world, but 10 years later, the kids have become teenagers, the world is falling apart, their parents have separated. They are in love with someone who absolutely dislikes them. The monsters have gone creepier. The robots are out of control. The technology is contaminated and it's spreading like a cancer. And you try to handle this chaotic world in some way. Raisin is a monster of the week game, just like Buffy, the TV series. I mean, there could be an ongoing plot, but many shows are just about one monster, and it's set in a world called the Mythic North. It's like a version of the Nordic countries in the 19th century, but it's not the real Nordic countries. It's just like an imaginary, so that you can make what you want of it. And you play a group of people who have the sight. You can see Vesen. For all other people, they are invisible. And Vesen are creatures that have lived among humans maybe forever in like the rural world with the farmers and in the woods and in the mountains and just lived with the humans. Some of them are friendly, some of them are nasty. You put out some porridge to them, they help you with the cattle, they can do some magic, and it's just been a working system. But then came like the industrialization and people were moving to the cities, and this harmony has gone bad, you could say. So the Vesen, they are both victim of human aggression, and they are doing bad stuff, killing people and going mad and doing stuff. And you play this group with a sight so you can see them, so you can interfere and try to solve these conflicts. Sometimes it could be just chasing away a Vesen or making it disappear altogether. Sometimes it could be saving a Vesen, but you always go like from the town out into the woods or the farmlands and confront something. Yeah, I would say that's a pitch.
Yeah, I think I'm going to steal exactly that when I'm going to or when we're going to speak in our podcast about what is Vesen. I'm just going to take whatever you just said, translate it into German, and act like that was my idea.
You're welcome to.
I spent the last couple of days looking at Vesen. I didn't get to play it yet. One of your colleagues at Free League was nice enough to give me access to it. And for some reason, I didn't have it on my radar before. And then I got the PDF and then I started looking at it. And then I realized, how the hell did I not see this before? I see why it's nominated for like the best art and all these things, because it looks really, really nice. Yeah. And do you know the Monster of the Week game by Evil Hat?
Yeah. I haven't played it, but I know about it.
Yeah, it gave me like it remembered me a little bit of it, where Monster of the Week is more about, you know, being badasses that go out and kick monster butts.
Yeah.
In like the major leagues.
Yeah.
Just the whole vibe of Vesen, which is just so much more on a basic level, like not basic as in there's not much to do, but you're just not this, you know, super power. I mean, there's a class in Monster of the Week which is called The Chosen. Mm. So you can imagine how powerful that character is.
Yeah.
And
I could actually say something more about the question you had before about me being a psychologist.
Yes.
Sorry if I'm jumping around, but I work with victims of torture and war. So in my regular work, I get to hear about really terrible things, you could say. And I think when I play role-playing games, I'm not that interested in kind of making the monsters as bad as possible or horrible things or torture. I think it gets uninteresting for me because that is kind of a part of my everyday life. No, it sounds strange, but I don't. Everyone can do what they want to do, but when I write, I'm not interested in this kind of. I should make this game even more evil than the other game, and now this is even more evil, and this is. I'm not interested in that aspect of it, if you could say so, or making it darker and darker and darker. This is the darkest horror game. And I think it comes from that I kind of see it in my practice, this darkness, and it's not, it doesn't get that interesting to write about, actually. So I think that is the reason why Vesen is, I mean, it's not the darkest horror you will ever see. It's kind of a light horror game. And the Vesen could be kind of nice as well. I mean, there could be bad things in it, but it's not the darkest palette of horror. Absolutely not.
And that's something I really like about the, sorry, talk. Yeah.
I just wanted to say that I really like the aspect of having many levels of horror, you know, like for me personally, I'm not really interested in those really scary jump scare movies and stuff, but when there are some movies that have like a little horror that is more digestive for me, and I think for many people, and that's a really nice aspect to have a game that is not focused on being darker and darker, but scary on another level, And I really like that about Wazen, and I'm really excited to try it one day.
Soon.
Soon.
just waiting for the postman to arrive. But yeah, looking through it, so some things that I just figured to be so cool. Like, if I remember correctly, there was one vasen that you have to spit on so it keeps being nice or something like that. Like, you have to spit on it every day.
Yeah, it's the, I don't know, remember what it's called in English, but it's the thing you have it with you. It gives, grants you power, so you can, isn't it? I'm just gonna see what it's called. Yeah, but I mean, all the vessels have their rituals that you need to do to either please them or chase them away, or
And that's such a cool aspect that I really like, because you know, playing pen and paper games or watching movies or whatever, it's about people going out and just, you know, beating the big bad stuff every single day. You know, it gets old quick, obviously. Yeah. And then you have you know, possibility for interactions with creatures like this. Yeah. Which is very unexpected, because I don't think one of my players would, without any hints, you know, figure like, I'm gonna spit on it.
No, it's kind of, was it this, the Spurtus?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I think that's the one.
Yeah,
this little thing.
Yeah, one of the things in this design is that you can't really beat the monsters. You can't really kill them in combat. You have to do these things and figure these things out. So the thought is that all vessels should be kind of a problem or a mystery how to solve it. But perhaps it was spitting on it. Actually, everything about these vessels are taken from folklore. So Johan Egerkans, who has done the book, he has read a lot of old folklore books. And when I wrote the role-playing game, I was also reading a lot of books from like the early 20th and 19th century, and just reading up on how Vesen work. So it's very little about the Vesen that any of us have invented, but just have kind of gathered the things they believed in Sweden and Norway and Denmark.
That makes it so interesting. Like,
it is interesting.
Yeah, not just, it's like in, somebody had to have an idea back in the day to write something like this, but yeah, that it's like so old makes it kind of interesting.
And I would recommend the way I like Vesen to be played, if I can decide that for people. I think folklore exists everywhere. I mean, there are the German folklore. If I would start up a new campaign, I would definitely use my own heritage. I would use like the city where I came from, how it was in the 19th century. I would try to figure out what kind of Vesen existed around there, what did you believe in? And I mean, you can do that wherever you are in the world. And I think that is almost, you can play in the Mythic North, but it's also interesting to use your own hometown, just as with Tales from the Loop and your own folklore.
Totally.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's something to get players engaged and, you know, get them stuck in it and have their own creativity going wild.
Yeah.
All right, I need to, I'm not looking at, just because he just showed me the book, I had to look at the PDF and I had to look at all the pictures. So I lost my focus for a minute. I'm sorry. I closed it. It's just
no problem.
Okay. We can do a really quick role play, right? Just imagine that, you know, today is going to be the first day that you're going to start. Today is the day you're going to start this hobby, right? Pen and paper role-playing games, right? Well, no, let's make it smarter, but back then you didn't have internet. What I'm trying to get to is, like, what would be like your advice for people who want to get into this hobby, but, you know, they haven't crossed the line yet, or they don't know how to go there, or they...
Yeah. Oh, and he's gone.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I'm so sorry about this. When it's German internet. I'm sorry. It's horrible.
I just told Nils that it's become a meme, your internet connection.
it's amazing. They've been working on this for 8 months now. It's not getting better. It's as unforgiving as Scandinavian winter. It just...
All right. I think, it's going to be the last question again. Maybe your advice on getting new players to this hobby, and just adding to that, maybe a system or a book you would recommend for new players to start with.
I think I would say that I think people should try to play something that is that they're interested in the fiction. I mean, if you like alien movies, play Alien. I mean, I don't think there are games that are so horrible that they are incomprehensible for beginners. I think most games can. I think it's more important to have a game that you really want to play than that they're easy to play. Of course, there are different levels on complexity, but. I would also say start playing. I mean, if you don't understand all the rules, just skip them, just read up on it until next time. And it's much more important to get like the dialogue going and like the fiction going, and you can just roll some dice. Yeah. If it's a six, you hit him or something. So I would say first try to find someone who plays, watch it on YouTube or whatever, and then just start playing whatever gets you going.
All right.
It sounds like what we tell our people.
Yeah.
That matches. All right. Nils, thank you very much for taking your time.
And thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot to your wife for letting us borrow you for this evening.
Yeah.
All right.
This was super nice. Question. Thanks so much. I'm very happy. This was great. We were a bit excited because I already told him like I bet my internet is gonna go off in like the worst moment possible, and of course it's like the listening in, and it's like, oh, this would be a bad moment. Press the button, right?
Yeah, it's the problem.
No, this was great. I'm pretty sure you can't tell us if there's anything hot coming, right?
No, I can't.
Okay, so and where do we sign up for this campaign you're going to run in Tales from the Loop?
I'll get back to you. Figure it out first.
No, once again, thank you so much. This has been great. I think we're both looking forward to see more work from you. We can't wait, or at least I can't wait, to dig in deeper into Vaisen. Yeah. And we also need to start Things from the Flood, but before we play that, the kids in Tales from the Loop need to grow up a little bit.
Yeah. That's great. Nice talking
all
to
right.
you.
Thank you very much. Right. Yes. Have a great night. Nice evening. Bye-bye.
Have a good run. Bye.
Ja, hat Spaß gemacht, oder?
Ja, das war unser Interview mit Nils Hinze von Free League. Wahnsinn, netter Typ, oder?
Krass. Also, ich meine, wir waren ja beide vorher ein bisschen aufgeregt. So. Ich meine, wir haben jetzt schon halt Gäste da gehabt, so klar. Wir hatten Hanna hier.
Aber das erste International Interview quasi.
Ja, ne? Das ist halt das Ding. Du hast jetzt das erste Mal Interview und dann ist es auf Englisch. Und B, ist das nicht so die nette Hanna, die wir irgendwie über Connections reinbekommen haben oder unser Kumpel Tim, den wir halt auch irgendwie kennen, sondern fucking Autor von Free League, so von der größten schwedischen Rollenspielfirma. Und dann macht er auch noch Tales from the Loop, Things from the Flood und Vaisen. Und wir hier, ja moin, rollen mit den Besten. Ja. Hast du Bock? Und er so, ja.
Ja, aber das war doch cool. Ich meine, gerade da finde ich das ja total sinnvoll, auch Leute, die eben schon erstmal ewig lang spielen, so wie er, oder eben auch im Business sind, auch einfach mal zu fragen, so, wie haben die denn eigentlich angefangen? Und da war ja seine Story total süß, wie er erzählt hat, dass quasi die erste Session, die er gespielt hat, war quasi mit seinem Bruder und seiner Mom, die quasi die Spielleiterin war. Und das fand ich erstmal schon ein total cooles und süßes Setting, dass sie dann da irgendwas Schwedisches gespielt haben, ne?
Ja, voll. Und sie kannten die Regeln nicht oder sie haben die Regeln nicht richtig verstanden.
und haben es dann einfach trotzdem gemacht. Und das finde ich super cool. Ja, worum ging es denn hier jetzt? Und na klar, also wir haben so ein bisschen gesprochen, wer ist der Autor hinter diesen drei Spielen, die wir gerade genannt haben. Er hat uns so ein bisschen erklärt, wie seine Arbeit da so funktioniert, was er da gemacht hat und wie das Ganze zustande gekommen ist. Also auch erstmal dieses Gerüst von einem Spiel schaffen und wie er auch irgendwie bei Free League gelandet ist. Und halt auch so über seine persönliche Historie halt mit Pen and Paper spielen. Und
ja, vor allem spannend fand ich ja, dass er ja sein Job ist ja Therapeut.
Ja.
Und dann Psychotherapeut sogar, ne?
Ja.
Ja, und das quasi, da fand ich auch die Frage von dir einfach richtig gut, als er dann über die Spiele gesprochen hat, die er selber gerne spielt. Und eins davon ist eben Call of Cthulhu. Und das war wirklich mein Highlight dieses Interviews. Du ihn gefragt hast, wie er denn, ob er seine Patienten dann auch nach dem Sanity-Regelwerk quasi bewertet aus Call of Cthulhu. So. Und das war, hat ja schon für ja, einen kleinen Lacher gesorgt. So. Das macht er natürlich nicht.
Haben Sie gestern 1D4 Sanity verloren oder war das schon eher so ein 1D10 Tag?
Aber die Frage hat er sicherlich auch noch nie gehört gehabt.
Ja, ja, wir bringen halt Quality Content, ne? Wir sind höchst professionell und wir waren top vorbereitet, wie immer auf alles. Nein, es hat tierisch Spaß gemacht. Und auch einfach diese tiefere Sicht von dem, was er da erzählt hat, so wie ist jetzt, wie sind diese drei Spiele entstanden? Diese Unschuld irgendwie, die Tales from the Loop einfach so darstellt und diese Nostalgie, die dahinter ist. Und dann dieses Erwachsenwerden in Things from the Flood und auch irgendwie dem Hingeben der eigenen Hilflosigkeit oder dem Fakt, dass du merkst, du kannst nicht alles kontrollieren. Er hat auch dieses total schöne Beispiel gegeben, dass du halt auf einmal einen Teenager spielst und du hast halt irgendwie den Stimmbruch und du kriegst irgendwie Haare am Körper überall und alles wird irgendwie anders und du merkst so, hey, ich kann das nicht steuern. Und genau das spiegelt die Welt in Things from the Flood halt wieder. Die ist halt irgendwie darker und die ist auch doller und du kannst auf einmal sterben.
Ja, wie quasi auch der Wechsel, wenn man jetzt an Filmgenres denkt, irgendwie vom Coming-of-Age-Film zum Young-Adult-Film. Ne? Also wenn du jetzt irgendwie ja so Kinderfilme in Anführungsstrichen hast, die dann aber vielleicht schon so ein bisschen erwachsen sind, also so Stand-by-Me-mäßig, oder dann irgendwie dir sowas wie die Hunger Games anguckst, wo es dann wirklich natürlich nochmal mehr auch ums Kämpfen geht und Überleben und so, ne? Aber das ist ja auch schon ein bisschen ja mit mehr Konsequenzen versehen, das Ganze. Ne?
Ja, absolut. Und dann haben wir natürlich noch über Wesen geschnackt, was dann ein etwas neueres Produkt ist von Free League, wo man eben ja, Leute spielt im mythischen Norden des 19. Jahrhunderts, irgendwo in Schweden. Man kann es aber überall auf der Welt spielen. Und eben, ich will nicht sagen, man jagt Folklore-Kreaturen, aber man spielt Menschen, die die Gabe haben, diese zu sehen.
Richtig, genau. Und das fand ich, hat er ja auch ganz spannend erzählt, dass es eben nicht nur darum geht, quasi diese, ähnlich wie bei Monster of the Week, quasi diese Kreaturen zu jagen und zu töten oder sowas, sondern manchmal auch einfach die alleine oder in der Gruppe irgendwie so zu verscheuchen und zu vertreiben oder eben aber auch quasi Frieden zu suchen und zu gucken, okay, was brauchen die eigentlich, was wollen die und vielleicht haben die auch gar keine bösen Absichten, so, ne, und dass das so offen gehalten ist und dass das auch irgendwie daher rührt, dass eben er auch von seinem Job natürlich irgendwie geprägt ist von irgendwelchen wirklich fiesen Erzählungen von Leuten, die irgendwie im Krieg waren oder sowas oder ganz schlimme Sachen erlebt haben, auch irgendwie zu Hause, ne, irgendwie und dass er eben sagt, so, das sind nicht so Sachen, mit denen er das Gefühl hat, er arbeiten muss, so, sondern dass er das nicht immer brutaler machen muss, so wie das bei manchen anderen vielleicht der Fall ist, sondern er seinen eigenen Weg sucht und er versucht viel Herz und Emotion und Leidenschaft in seine Spiele einfließen zu lassen. Und das fand ich, hat er auch sehr schön erzählt.
Ja, absolut. Und auch alles so sympathisch. Also das hat wirklich, 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 wirklich Spaß gemacht, muss ich sagen. Voll.
Auch das Wesen ja irgendwie auf wirklichen Folklore-Geschichten basiert und die Kreaturen auch dann eben daherkommen irgendwo. Ne? Das wäre so, als würde man jetzt hier vielleicht in Deutschland sagen, wir spielen irgendwie ein RPG mit den Grimm-Märchen oder sowas und den Figuren daraus oder sowas. Ne? Und das finde ich ist irgendwie eine coole Sache, weil es eben nicht einfach so, also natürlich kann eine neue Geschichte mit neuen Kreaturen auch total cool sein, aber wenn du weißt, die sind teilweise Jahrhunderte alt, diese Geschichten und Legenden und Mythen, dann gibt das dem Ganzen nochmal so eine andere Tiefe, die irgendwie nochmal anders interessant ist zu erkunden und zu erforschen.
Ja, dann ist das ja auch so irgendwie in dir selbst so kulturell verankert. Und ja, es gibt einfach Tiefe. Und da hast du ja auch direkt eine Vorstellung von diesen Dingen, ne? Ich meine, wenn du jetzt, keine Ahnung, The Witcher spielst und, oder, I don't know, Monster of the Week und da ist irgendein, keine Ahnung, Glibber-Tentakel, whatever Monster, so, dann ist das halt für dich so ein Glibber-Tentakel, whatever Monster. Aber wenn das jetzt irgendwas ist, was du mit irgendwas verbinden kannst, einfach weil du als Kind schon Märchen darüber gehört hast und so, dann bringt das halt so eine Tiefe mit. Und das ist wirklich, wirklich richtig cool. Haben wir irgendwas vergessen?
Ich glaube nicht. Wie gesagt, das schadet, glaube ich, nicht, sich dieses Interview anzusehen auf YouTube oder eben sich anzuhören, weil wir das doch hoffentlich ganz verständlich rübergebracht haben. Und ansonsten, wenn ihr Fragen habt auch nochmal, dann stellt sie uns gerne im Discord. Und ansonsten checkt gerne die Arbeit von Nils Hinze aus und von FreeLeak. Checkt gerne Tales from the Loop und Vazen.
Und Things from the Flood.
Richtig, und genau. Und dann habt einfach Spaß am Rollenspielen, weil das ist das, glaube ich, die Essenz von allem.
Das hat er auch am Ende nochmal richtig schön gesagt. Wenn man keine Ahnung hat, was abgeht und wie fange ich damit an, einfach anfangen. Im schlimmsten Fall einfach auch Regeln halt ignorieren. Einfach erstmal anfreunden damit und spielen.
Ja.
Und gucken, ob das für einen passt. Und einfach das machen, worauf man Bock hat. Und das ist halt auch einfach richtig so eine schöne Message, ne? Weil klar vertritt er irgendwo FreeLeak und er hätte natürlich jetzt sagen können, hey, kauft diese Starterbox hier und dann kauft ihr das und dann könnt ihr das hier kaufen und dann habt ihr das und seid am Ende in diesem Rabbit Hole. Aber gerade das hat er ja gar nicht gemacht. Und er meinte einfach so, ey, macht einfach. Und ihr habt so eine große Auswahl an Sachen, wo ihr Spaß dran haben könnt und werdet. Und schaut euch um, probiert euch aus und have fun.
Genau, das solltet ihr tun. Wir machen das auch und damit verabschieden wir uns, wünschen euch eine schöne Woche und wir hören uns bald.
Und freuen uns natürlich ganz, ganz tolle über irgendwelche Likes und Reviews und Apple-Rezensionen.
Du Schlawiner.
Oder einfach mal ein Hallo im Discord.
Du Schlawiner. Darüber freuen wir uns natürlich am meisten, uns mit euch auszutauschen. Und genau, wir schreiben, wir hören uns und bis bald.
Bis dann.
Ciao.